Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
It really is an incredible privilege to preach on the first Sunday of the year. I'm not sure whether I've ever done this. I might have, perhaps I just cannot remember. But it really is a significant day. And yesterday we were at a social gathering like we do over the holidays, as I'm sure many of you did quite a bit. And I said to somebody, we had to leave early because I still had to prepare a little bit. And the person said to me, "No, man, there'll only be a few people. It's still holiday." And I said, "You are making a big mistake. This is a very significant sermon." And I'm really trusting God to speak to us and to be a worthy vessel to speak through as we start a new year. So I want to open with a scripture from Psalm 90, verse 10 and verse 12. This might scare some of you, especially those who are 70 years and older. The scripture says, "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason or strength, 80. May I ask who here are 70 and older? I saw some of you coming in. Ah, let's clap for them. Oom Albert, Tani Kumi, and there was somebody else there at the back. You are our special guests. And then if you have exceptional strength, the Bible says, then you will make it to 80. The Bible says nothing about 90 and 100, but there are some of us that manage that. And then listen what it says. It says, let me start again. "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason or strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, so that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days, so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now, my parents visited us for 2 weeks over the holiday season just now. And it was such a privilege to have them here. They've never been here to us in Stellenbosch. They are over 70. They are also very special then in that regard. And I remember as a child, my dad is a man who constantly used to be in a hurry. He did not have much patience. And when he walked, wherever we walked, especially in a shopping mall, then we would practically have to run to not lose my dad. So I have these memories of running with my dad. He was walking though. And so I still do that. Whenever I walk somewhere, unless I'm really like in a holiday kind of vibe, I practically run and everybody says to me, "Why on earth are you walking this fast?" But it's just the way that I grew up. It's the only explanation. So my dad and I went to the shopping mall, which was a nightmare. It was not my choice. But anyway, we went here to the mall here in Stellenbosch. And we got out of the car and we walked into the shopping mall and I started my usual running. And I looked next to me and my dad was not there. And I looked back and there was my dad walking so much slower than what he used to be. And I looked at him and he said to me, "You are walking too fast. I cannot keep up with you." And I was thinking, my, oh my, how the tables have turned. How short this life is. How quickly things can change. And I want to speak about time this morning. I think, really believe that it is an appropriate message for the beginning of the year. And I have three quotes about time. I found all of them very powerful quotes. The first one is, "Time is free, but it is priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Then the second quote. Listen to this. A man who dares waste 1 hour of time has not discovered the value of life. And then the last one. We say we waste time, but that is impossible. We waste ourselves. And the Word of God says, teach me to number my days. Teach me to understand how short my life is. Teach me to understand how extremely important and significant every single day of my life is. Let me understand that, because if I do, I will live with wisdom. My heart will be a wise heart. And I turned 40 last year. I'm one of those people who are not afraid to share my age and my weight and everything, which I will not do all of that this morning. It's just the way God made me. I overshare all the time. I turned 40 last year, and I had a moment right there realizing that I'm now in the middle years, the middle jahre. I remember, you know, my parents speaking about this time in their lives, and for some people it's a bit of a crisis. And it just dawned on me that now I'm halfway through and I only have 40, or according to the Bible, perhaps 30 years left. And what have I done with the past 40 years? And I just had a moment of regretting every hour that I have wasted. And I really believe that what I'm sharing this morning is extremely significant for us for 2016. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus had 3 short years in which he did all of his ministry. Jesus is our perfect example. And Jesus said, I do nothing that my Father does not tell me to do. I look to my Father in heaven the same way that we do. We look to our Father. We look to God. And everything that my Father tells me to do, I do. When he wants me to speak, I speak. When he wants me to be quiet, because Jesus had perfect submission unto the Father. We are growing into that. But when we look at the life of Jesus, it was an extremely purposeful, purpose-driven, destiny-filled life. But he followed God, Jesus, the perfect man, followed God every second of the day. There was not 1 second in which he sort of just relaxed from being obedient to the Father. And when we look at his life, it could seem pretty normal in some ways. He grew up, I trust, a happy child. His father was a carpenter. He became a carpenter. He worked with his father. The word says he was a carpenter. He worked with his father. He was training to do the same. Then he entered full-time ministry, and he spent these days praying a lot. We often see that he went all on his own to the mountain and he prayed. He spent a lot of time in conversation with his disciples. He spent a lot of time eating with people, talking to people. Now and then he took a nap. He took a nap while there was a storm in the boat, and they were thinking, is he crazy? What's wrong with him? Why is he sleeping now? He played with children. But whatever he did was filled with purpose and destiny, to the hour. And there's a scripture there that says in John 13, verse 1, this is before the crucifixion. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. His hour has come, and he knew it. And in our lives, there are some significant hours. I just had a quick conversation with Marcus and Celeste sitting there. They are on the verge of adopting a baby boy. And as from the 13th of January, the hour will come when they will get that phone call. Your baby is here. Come and fetch him. It is a significant hour. But if they were not following God the way that they are, they might have missed this significant hour that is now on the verge of going to be happening. And what we need to understand is our lives are very short. And for most people, we realize it when it is too late. And every single day, we need to know, what am I supposed to do today? What is my destiny? What is my purpose? And how am I pursuing it? And it comes by knowing God and drawing close to God and by understanding the value of the time that God has given us. And He gives all of us 24 hours every day. We all have the same amount of time. The other day somebody said to me, I have no time to exercise. And I said, that is not true. That is not true. I'm not saying you have to exercise. You can do whatever. I'm not living your life. But don't tell me that you have no time to exercise. Because you need to spend your time in the way that God is calling you to do it. And you need to understand that your days are short. And that it is valuable and that it is extremely important to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And for all of us, it is different. It is not the same for all of us. And Jesus was not bothered by the opinions of many other people. He looked towards the Father to determine His every day, His every second. I was lying on the couch. I started reading a book now over the holidays. I just had such a need to read just a story, just a good story. And as I started reading the book, I just heard the voice of the Spirit of God. And I just heard God saying, why are you reading this book? I said, well, God, I'm tired. The year was long. The year was hard. I want to read a good story. And the library is closed today. It was a public holiday. And this is the only book that I can find now in the house. And I want to read it now. And I just sensed that the Spirit of God said to me, this book is not going to contribute to your purpose or your destiny. Is that radical? Because the 4 or 5 hours that you are going to spend reading this book is going to be time wasted. Of course, you can read a good story, but find the right book. Spend your time wisely. It is very, very short. And we don't want to realize that when we are 80 years old and it is too late. I want to speak about something specific this morning. I want to read from Matthew 25. We know about the parable of the farmer who went away and he gave, or the man that went away, and he gave three of his servants, he gave each of them talents. To the one he gave five, to the other he gave three, and to the last one he gave one. And he said, do with this as you think is best. And when I come back, you can show me what you did. And then he went away and he came back. And as many of us will know, if we know the parable, the first two did well with their talents. And this is what the last one said. He was confronting the last person who had one talent, and he said, and this is what the word says. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. I'm giving it back to you. I was hiding it, and now I give it back to you. And it is not damaged or anything. You can have it back. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. This just shows the heart of God and how God feels about us wasting the great gift of time. God says, I have given you a certain amount of abilities, and do not tell me that you were too afraid to make the best of it. Because I am coming back and you are going to be accountable. And the greatest gift that we can ever have is the time that God gives us to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. And I want to speak about one of the greatest enemies of our purpose and our destiny. And it is called procrastination. I have a slide there. We can just put it up. It's gone now. Procrastinators unite tomorrow. For those of you who do not know, procrastination means to put something off, to not do it when you have to do it, to think, I will do it tomorrow, I will do it the next day, I will do it tomorrow, and to live a life of procrastination. And you know, I was Googling procrastination. I was looking for a little joke like that, and there were many of them. And I was actually surprised at how much we can joke about procrastination. We do that all the time. But what I have realized is, actually, it's okay to laugh. I put the joke up there. But actually, there's nothing funny about procrastination. It is one of the deadliest weapons that Satan wants to use to steal our time, to steal our purpose, to steal our destiny. And my prayer with all of my heart for 2016, for myself and for you, is that we will not waste what God has given us. And why is procrastination such a big issue? Because it is all about how we steward our time. It is all about how we choose to spend our time, which God has given us to be productive, to be effective, to do what we need to do. And we will never reach our full potential if we suffer from procrastination. And you know, the word says that Satan is the father of lies. And what is procrastination? It is just another way of lying to ourselves. I will do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in an hour. I'm going to do it this evening. I'm definitely going to do it. I quickly need to do this first. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And we are going and we are going and we are going. Like somebody said, one day or some day is not a day of the week. It doesn't exist. Never, never do what you can do today, only tomorrow. Do it now. And I really believe that for some of us, everything can change for us if we stop procrastinating. If we stop procrastinating, why do we do it? There are many reasons for procrastination. I really believe for those people, and I know what I'm speaking about. I used to be a obsessive compulsive procrastinator. God really worked in my life, and sometimes I still do struggle, but I'm so much better than what I used to be. But we need to find the root of our problem, and I believe that for many of us, fear is one of the greatest reasons why we procrastinate. Fear. Sometimes we need to do something and we dread doing it. And for some of us, it is something worth dreading. Sometimes it is speaking to somebody, confronting an issue, doing something that really hurts. But for many of us, we have been doing it for so long, it became such a bad habit that we procrastinate everything that we have to do, and we dread everything that we have to do, often for the fear of failure. What if I fail? What if I fail again? Sometimes we procrastinate because we are double-minded. The book of James says, if you are double-minded, you are like a little boat on the waves being tossed to and fro. You have no direction. You do not know where you are going. You are not going anywhere. You have to choose between A and B, and you are not able to make that choice, so you make no choice. So your circumstances and other people will choose for you. And your life will take a direction that others will determine. And they cannot determine the direction of your life because they are not you. Only you and I can know what God is calling us to. We need to find it out. Other people can come alongside, yes. But we need that relationship with God. And often, I really think God is looking at us and he says, just make the decision even if it is wrong. Can I say this again? Sometimes we just need to make a decision even if it is the wrong decision. Just go in a direction because God will guide us and lead us and gently correct us. But don't just stay where you are. Because of procrastination, because we are double-minded. Another reason for procrastination, and I believe that that is not for so many of us, but definitely some of us, is being lazy. And I often think about this master who says to his servant, "You lazy and slothful servant." God has no space in his wonderful being for laziness. We cannot be lazy. God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. To waste time by doing nothing or nothing of significance is a tragedy because your life will end and you never became what God has called you and I to become. And for many of us, we hide our laziness behind being busy. Ooh, I'm so busy, I have to do this, and I have so much to do, I'm so busy. I used to do that. Ooh, I have so many children, and I've got so much to do. But I know what I'm keeping myself busy with is not what God has called me to do. God did not call me to spend hours and hours on YouTube watching America's Got Talent. Or a soapy, or a series. There's a time and a place for that. But let me tell you, people, it is not contributing to our purpose and our destiny. And what procrastination is, it is making excuses. It is always making excuses. And year in and year out, we are not getting to that place where we do what God has called us to do. And it steals from us our confidence. When there's always something hanging, always something that I still have to do, it makes me insecure. I'm not speaking about not being able to do it. There are many things that I need to do, but I wasn't able up until now to do it, but I will as soon as I can. But when we put off Whatever we need to do, it brings insecurity. And God cannot use us because we are not confident. You know, when you don't do what you are supposed to do, it's difficult to look people in the eye. Have you noticed that? It's difficult to just be confident and upright and bold because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And there's nothing like a well-deserved holiday. It is heaven. It is glorious. But to take a holiday that was not deserved, to rest when we are supposed to work, to do fun activities when we are supposed to do something that is not so pleasant, is not actually fun. And it steals from us. And God says, when you rest, I want you to enjoy that rest. I want you to deserve that rest. But we need to focus, Church of God. We need to know who our God is. And we need to know what He is expecting from us. And we know that by putting our hand to the plow. You know when you know how to do something after you've made a couple of mistakes. I read some New Year's resolutions on the internet while I was preparing for the sermon. And there was some other well-known person, and I forgot who it was. I didn't know who he was. And he said, this is my wish for you for 2016. I hope that you make many, many mistakes. Because that will show me that you are busy doing something. You are busy moving in a direction. And it shows me that you are learning and growing and changing. But if you cannot make a decision, if you keep on putting it off, if you wait for something wonderful to happen, if you wait for the right time, and for some things, yes, we need to wait for the right time, but that is not the context now. If you keep on waiting and waiting, you will wait forever. God can go nowhere with us. But if we become people who are upright and bold, and if we, you know, it's like facing that lion, like grabbing the bull by the horns and saying, I'm going to take courage and I'm going to not procrastinate what I need to do today. Because then we will be ahead. Then when God wants us to come and report for duty, we will be ready. But now Jesus says, come and follow me. And the one man says, let me first go and bury my wife. And the other one says, let me first go and work my lands. All kinds of excuses. And God says to them, you do not understand purpose. You do not understand destiny. You do not understand the value of time. You know, we have a 12-year-old now. She's our oldest, Mikaela. And it is quite a scary experience to have a teenager. Are there some experienced parents here who's been through this already? Albert and Tani Nancy. Okay. you can help us who are there right now. And I look at her, she's 12 now, and I realize to an extent it is too late. There is still a lot that we can teach her. But for some things, it is too late. If we did not teach it to her by now, she will not be open to learn that from us, to receive that from us any longer. Because no longer are we her greatest influence. We want to be, and we are a great influence. Perhaps we still are the greatest influence. I hope so. I pray so. But now other things become more important. Instead of sitting with all of us in the living room and chatting and playing board games or watching something or doing something nice, she's in her room reading a book. She wants to have some alone time. She's growing up now. And whatever we missed, whatever we did not invest in her up until now, it's very hard to do it now. Very hard to do it now. Because time goes like this. If I do not do what I have to do today, tomorrow, it might be too late. And I look at her often, and I just always want to cry. I'm so emotional about all of this. And I look at her, and the past few months, and whenever I look at her, I say in my heart, God, please, did we do a good job? Did we do a good job? And so far, it seems like it, trusting that it will remain like that. And I'm grateful that we have some smaller children that we can still have time to teach them. Because we will blink once, and it will be too late. How do we overcome procrastination? And I know some of us here do not really battle with it. I believe that some of us here really battle with it. And I'm standing here as a prime example. I had such a battle in my life with fear, dreading anything and everything that I had to do. But I believe that the way to overcome procrastination is to understand the value of time. We need a revelation from God about how precious our time on earth is and how we desperately need to do what we have to do, like Jesus did. He was never in a hurry. He was never running or holders to boulder, head over heels, falling over his feet because he procrastinated something. He was quiet, confidently, quietly doing what he had to do, walking, stopping at a child, healing somebody, praying with somebody, eating with somebody. But he was there in the moment, confident and bold, because he was following the Father. He knew that his time was very, very short. And what we need to understand that procrastination is actually a sin, and we need to deal with it as if it is a sin, because it is. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. If we cannot control ourselves to do what we have to do, I read a quote that says, if you cannot manage your time, you can manage nothing. The way that you spend your time will largely determine who you are. And it's a sin of presumption as well, presuming that tomorrow will be there. None of us that sit here can know for sure that tomorrow will be there. Jesus might come back, or one of us here could actually pass away tomorrow. We could die tomorrow. We cannot presume that tomorrow will be there. It is a sin. The Word of God says, no one knows the day. But what we need to do is we need to understand the value of time. And I really believe God wants to come, like He always does, with loving kindness, with mercy and grace and love, and set us free. Because Satan will always want to keep us bound. And that thing that you are procrastinating, he will make it look like a big, dreadful, terrible monster. But when you face that thing with God, God can slay that monster through you, because he's living within you. And you can overcome. And most of the time, when you face something, you find that you can actually overcome that thing. You can overcome it. And my prayer for us today is that we will understand the value of time. And that we will, one day when we stand before God, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You had 24 hours every day and you made the best of it. You made the best of it. And some of us are sitting here right now and we think, well, perhaps it is too late. I've wasted 20 years. I've wasted 30 years. I've wasted 40 years. And the bad news this morning is, for some things, it might be too late, yes. But let me read you a scripture, a wonderful scripture. Joel 2, verse 25. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. Have you seen the movie Ants? Do you remember one of the characters was Hopper and the other one was Cutter? I think they got it from the Bible. Or was it a bug's life? They were like, they were not, I don't know, were they ants? I can't remember. Probably, I'm not ants, grasshoppers. I think they were grasshoppers. The Word of God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. And for all of us, we grew up in a certain way. We were taught in a certain way. Most of us made many mistakes. We had significant choices to make, and we made the wrong choices. And we are paying the price for that. Sometimes we are suffering for that. And that is sad, and that is hard, and that is difficult. But none of us are perfect, and none of us have a perfect life. And this life is very short, and yes, to a great extent, this life will determine our eternity. But the most important thing is to not waste any more time to regret the wasted time. It's like that song says, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that you love me. And I believe what God is saying for 2016, he's probably saying a lot of things, it's just one of the things. Do not regret the past, but do make the best of every single day that is ahead of us in this year. Because God has so much in store for us. He has so much for us. And my prayer this morning is that we will be set free. My prayer this morning is that we will understand, every one of us that is sitting here, including myself, that we will understand the value of our time and our short time. And the Word of God is full of it. We look at Esther, well-known scripture, for such a time as this. Wherever we look in the Word of God, the hour has come, the time has come. God works according to the clock, even though He is timeless, to the hour. And may we gather again on the 4th of January or the 3rd or whatever it will be, 2017, and look at each other and say, you know what? I made the best of it. I followed God to the best of my ability. When I was resting, when I was relaxing, when I was working, when I was spending time with friends. You know, when we want to invite people over, which we used to, we stopped it for a while because we were overwhelmed with our lives. We started again and we invite lots of people over. We pray, God, who do you want us to invite? Who do you want us to spend time with? Because those 3 hours around the braaivleis fire is significant and important. And when I did all my work that I had to do, I'm really going to enjoy that braai. But if I procrastinated my work, I'm not going to really enjoy that braai. I'm not going to be as confident and relaxed and everything else that I need to be, like Jesus was all the time as he walked this earth. And the good news is, for those of us today who feel like, and I am only 41 now, but I had my time of mourning some of the lost years that I spent procrastinating year in and year out and lost opportunities that I didn't do what I could do when I was still a bit younger and a bit stronger and my yeah. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross because he knew all of this. He knew that we would sit here today thinking, how have I wasted my time? He knew what we would feel like right now. He knew that. And that is why he says, my grace is enough. My mercies are new every morning. And even if you are older this morning and you think, my life did not go according to plan, take heart, take courage, lift your head. There is an eternity with God. And God can restore, and I don't know exactly how He will restore it for you personally, but He can give peace that surpasses all understanding and all the grace that you need. And do not waste any more time regretting those things. Wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, you are giving me a day. Wow. What are we going to do today? Our children have a little storybook, and it's about Monday to Friday. And then it says, what are we going to do today with you, God? What am I going to do with you today, God? What are we going to do? It is going to be purposeful. It is going to be full of destiny-filled time spent well. You know, when we moved back, I'm almost finished. When we moved back to Stellenbosch 2.5 years ago, I came into church and I saw Tony. Who of you know who Tony is? Tony is in our church. She's not here this morning. She's with her parents in Plett. Tony has cerebral palsy. She's one of the most extraordinary people that I know. And God showed me Tony. I saw her previously before we lived here. And I made a mental note because I really was attracted to her. But when we moved here in this church, yeah, just there, round about there, Tony was sitting. And God spoke to me and God said to me, do you see Tony sitting there? I said, yes, God, I'm very aware of Tony. God said to me, if you invest your time in Tony, it will be a great investment. It will be a great investment. It will enrich your life. And I started reaching out to Tony, not because she cannot help herself. She can. She lives independently. She's a very strong woman. But she needs a support base to do and accomplish everything that she has. She has a degree. She's a Springbok cyclist. She's got many accomplishments. But God said, if you help Tony as much as you can, because you are able-bodied, you have a car, you can drive, and you can draw close to Tony, it will be a worthy investment. And at the end of this year, we spent some time with Tony. She bought pizzas for my whole big family. She blessed us with pizzas and some very unhealthy Fanta orange. And we were just sitting there and having a good time. And I was sitting there and my life is so enriched. And that is just one small example. But I really want to say, time spent, time invested in other people's lives, into other people's destinies, not just randomly here and there, as God shows, is time well invested. This is my last story, I promise you. I was in England many years ago, before I was married and everything. And I was a teacher there, but I couldn't find a job at that stage as a teacher. And I did caring where I was looking after old people. I'm sure some of us here did that as well. And there was this one lady, Mrs. Williams. And I had to care for her for 3 weeks. She was 92 years old. And I was very afraid because I'm not that good with personal caring. Nobody taught me how to do it. And then I was very intimidated. I was actually afraid that she would die while I was there because she was so old. And every morning I woke up thinking, perhaps if I go to her room now, she's not going to be alive anymore. And I was really afraid. But it took me about a week to discover that I was privileged enough to get to know a lady who invested her time so well, so splendidly, while she still had strength in her bones, that she was now reaping what she was sowing, reaping big time. So her children told me one of the reasons that we because we could have a nurse, you know, but one of the reasons that we asked you to come is because we need somebody to keep the people away. Because the people visited Mrs. Williams like all the time. The bell would ring, the bell would ring, the bell would ring, the phone would ring. Everybody wanted to spend time with her. Everybody wanted to eat with her. Everybody wanted to sit and talk to her. She had no lack. She did not lack anything. The last thing that she lacked was friendship. She had too many friends. It was overwhelming. Her doctor, her nurse, everybody just loved her. Because all of her life, she spent investing it into the lives of other people. And we have these opportunities every day in our workplace, in our family, in our immediate family and our extended family. Wherever we go, we have the opportunity to sow seeds into the lives of other people. And I want to say something very significant. The seed that you sow in the lives of other people will grow in your own garden, and you will reap if we do not procrastinate. Can we stand? I want to extend an invitation. There are two groups of people. We really want to pray with you this morning. The great thing about being a born-again Christian in the house of God is we are not alone. We are never alone. And we understand that we can confess to each other because we all battle. And those people who seem so perfect, I promise you they battle as well. We all battle. We all have secret sins. And I want to pray for two groups of people this morning, and I could be the one standing there as well. I'm first going to say, and then you can come to the front. Firstly, I want to pray for people who feel that they have wasted some years of their lives. And there's a sense of regret, there's a sense of sadness, there's a sense of mourning. And I want to say it is good to mourn for whatever we have lost. It is good. It is a healing process. But what we want to pray for you this morning is that God will take away that sting. We sang this morning, "O death, where is your sting?" And I want to say, and I say this very boldly, whatever is stinging us this morning, that pain, that ache, God can remove that sting. I had a heartache this year. But that was stinging so badly, I thought it will never leave me. And it did. The pain is still there a little bit, but the sting is gone. It's gone. I'm free. I'm healing from that thing. And if we can pray for you this morning, that God will deliver you from that sting, even if it takes time, and sometimes He does, often He does. And more than that, that God will restore unto you what the locusts, the grasshoppers, cutter and hopper, what they have eaten from your life, so that you will live without regrets and that you can wake up tomorrow a free man and a free woman. The second group of people that we want to pray with this morning are those who battle with procrastination. Some of us are obsessive compulsive procrastinators. I know some of us here are. I just know it. Some of us are procrastinating just one area in our lives that we always procrastinate. I don't know what it is. Perhaps it's a relational thing. Perhaps it is a work thing. You dread that thing. Some of us only battle with it from time to time. But if that is you, I want to kindly ask you just to come to the front because we want to pray with you. Won't you come to the front? I do not really believe in New Year's resolutions. It's never worked for me. But I do believe that God can do anything. And I do believe that the beginning of a year is a good time for God to do something. And I want to say that there is no condemnation. That's why Jesus died on the cross. If we were perfect, if we never battled with procrastination or whatever else it is that we battle with, there was no need for the cross. It is good news this morning. It is only good news. But for some of us here, God wants to change your life completely. And you are going to taste what victory tastes like. You are going to experience what overcoming feels like. You are going to overcome big time. Not because we are trying to motivate each other here this morning. Not even inspiring each other. We can do nothing for each other. God can do anything. God has a plan and a purpose and a strategy. And He wants to speak to you about it. So let's close our eyes. Oh God, thank you for every single person that is standing here in front right now. Father, thank you for their lives, Father. Father, thank you for the significant hour in which they were born. That their hour has come. Thank you for every significant hour in their lives. And Father, for some of them, they had hours in their lives where they made decisions that they really regret this morning, Father. Father, for some of them, they know that there were significant hours that they missed because they were procrastinating. And for some of them, Father, there is such fear and dread in their hearts. For some of them, Father, there is double-mindedness, Father. Father, for some of them, there is shame because of laziness. God, I've been there, I know, Father. I know, God, just like me, some of them, God. And God, thank you this morning, Lord. You look at them, each one of us, Father, that are here in the front. You look at us with love and with compassion. Thank you, God, that your word says you are slow to anger, but full of compassion. And Father, I want to prophesy over every person here, standing here in the front, Father. Father, I want to prophesy over them that you will give them a divine revelation of the value and the gift of time. Father, I want to prophesy over them, Father, that not one hour will be spent regretting the past. Not one hour will be spent wasting your precious gift of time. Not one hour will be spent being idle or making lame excuses for not pursuing their destinies. Father, I want to prophesy over them, Father. They will be effective, productive, bold, strong, mighty, because the Lion of Judah is within them. Father, I want to speak over them the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And Father, I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy over them this morning, God, which says you are forgiven, you are loved, you are wanted, and you are going to become great. And one day when you are old, you will reap what you have sowed. And one day when you stand before me, I will say, well done, good and faithful servant, because you spent your time well. And I'm proud of you. And now come and rule and reign with me in heaven for eternity. And Father, we want to bind every lie. Every lie, we want to expose every lie that procrastination brings with it. You cannot do it. You don't know how to do it. You are not going to manage it. You don't know what choice to make. Rather, do not choose. You are not able to do it. You have to do this and this and the other first. Father, every lie, we expose it this morning in the name of Jesus. It comes from the pit of hell, from the father of lies. It comes from the darkest place. And we bind those lies this morning in the name of Jesus. And we say, God, that today is the day. Today is the best day. There's no better time than today. And there's no better moment than right now. And Father, I pray over them and over myself, over all of us, God, that you will teach us how to number our days, so that we can live with wisdom, Father. Thank you, Father, that every choice that they will make will be a wise choice. Thank you, Father, just like David, when he was able to slay the bear, he was able to slay the lion. When he was able to slay the lion, he was able to slay Goliath. And when he was able to slay Goliath, he was able to take kingdoms and countries. Thank you, Father, that every man and woman, young or old, Father, who is standing here this morning, thank you, Father, that they are going to slay their lion and their bear and their Goliath, and they are going to take nations and generations in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are preparing their hands for war and their fingers for battle. Thank you, God, that the Lion of Judah will roar within them. And Father, thank you that when we stumble and fall, your arm is not too short. Father, we all stumble again, we all fall again. But that is why you died on that cross. And thank you, Father, that they will get up and that they will try again and they will be victorious. Father, we want to seal every destiny represented here, Father. We want to seal every purpose that is represented in this room, Father, and every destiny and every calling and every separation. We want to seal it this morning in the name of Jesus. And we want to thank you, God, that it will come to pass. And thank you, God, that no enemy will steal from us any longer, as long as we do only what our Father tells us to do, just like Jesus did. In Jesus' name. I want to ask for another 5 minutes, and I want to ask that those people here in the front, we are not going to lay hands on you. But I want you to just take the next 5 minutes, and I want to ask the worship team if we can just have a soft worship song that is not too lively and not too loud. And I want you just to speak to God. Just bring to him. Just bring to him your giants, your lions, your bears, your Goliaths. Just bring it to him. And just declare your dependence on him. And thank him that he will show you the value of your time. And that he will set you free. Let's do that for 5 minutes.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.